Now please get your Bibles and turn them to our text for our message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's include verse 17. So we will be reading verses 17 through 34. Let's hear the word of God. In the following directives, I have no praise for you. For your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, or you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep or have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. May the Lord bless us as we consider this portion of God's holy word. Last Sunday night, I gave you four truths about the Lord's Supper. We said the Lord's Supper is a celebration with thanksgiving. We celebrate the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We celebrate the victory that we have in Him over the power and penalty of sin. The Lord's Supper is also a commemoration of the atoning death of Christ. We remember what Jesus has done on the cross. Third, the Lord's Supper is a command. Do this. That's why we call it a holy ordinance. believers in Christ must participate in the Lord's Supper. And then fourthly, the Lord's Supper is a consecration. The Lord's Supper is sacred. Thus, we call it Holy Sacrament. As such, it requires holiness on the communicants. And therefore, we must examine ourselves to make sure that we are worthy to come to the Lord's table, that we have a clean heart as we come to the table of the Lord. Now, as I promised, last Sunday night, I will give you another four truths about the Lord's Supper. Now, fifthly, the Lord's Supper is a communion. A communion. That's why, boys and girls, whenever we have the Lord's Supper, we say we are going to have Holy Communion or communion service. But perhaps you ask, in what sense are we having communion? Well, first of all, in the Lord's Supper, we show our communion among believers. Communion among believers. We show our oneness, our unity in the church. We show that we belong to one body whose head is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, that's what is missing in the Corinthian church. There is no oneness. There is no unity. In fact, when you read verse 17, Paul rebukes the Corinthian church for divisions, differences. Let me read verse 17 again. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. There's no unity but competition. What happens? Those who are rich members of that church who are able to bring plenty of food and plenty of drink, they don't share their food with those poor members, with those who are unable to bring food. Because we have to understand, in the New Testament, when they did their Holy Communion, it was a meal. They brought food. But there was no sharing. That's why you see, the very idea of communion implies sharing, that commonness. But that sharing is absent in the Corinthian church. And so, when we say that the Lord's Supper is a communion, we show our oneness. That we are one. Yes! We are probably 400 here or 450, I don't know exactly the number. But we belong to the same body. Second, when we say that the Lord's Supper is a communion, we demonstrate our commonality. That we share something in common. In the first place, regardless of your status in life, whether you are old or young, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, elders or deacons or members, children or young people, we are all sinners, equally sinners. And therefore, in the Lord's Supper, that mentality, the so-called holier than thou, should have no place. No one can say that I am holier than you are. Because we are equally sinners. We share commonness, Holy Communion. If you remember the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector in Luke chapter 18, actually Jesus gave this parable to those, according to Luke, to those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Do you remember what the Pharisee said in his prayer? God, I thank you that I am not like other men. This self-righteous attitude has no place in the Lord's Supper. Why? Because we come to the Lord's Supper not on the basis of your self-righteousness, but on the basis of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, we share something in common. We show that we are all beggars of God's mercy. We pray with this tax collector, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's our theme in the Holy Communion. Be merciful to me, a sinner. The Apostle Paul says, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, of whom I am the chief. You see, my friend, as you look upon, as you ponder upon the cross, you see how unworthy you are to come to the Lord's table. And if you notice that your friend, your relative, your maybe fellow member of this church does not partake of the elements, oh please, don't start thinking that, the reason why he or she is not partaking because he is a sinner and I am not. I deserve to come to the Lord's table. He doesn't. No, my friend. Remember, we come to the Lord's table only on the basis of the righteousness of Christ, not on the basis of your self-righteousness. And so, really, this should be an encouragement for us to live in unity as a congregation. Think about that. When the minister says, let's drink the cup at the same time, you see that commonness, unity, unison in diversity. Let's eat the bread at the same time. Feel that oneness. We belong to one body whose head is Jesus Christ. You know what it means to us? In a congregation like this, there might be differences, like in the Corinthian church. You probably don't like one of the members of this church for whatsoever reason. Think about that. If that member is a believer, that member can come to the Lord's table. You come to the Lord's table. God welcomes that sinner. God welcomes you. Why don't you welcome him too? God accepts that sinner. Why don't you accept him too? You see, it promotes unity in the congregation. So the Lord's Supper is a communion. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is a covenant. It's a covenant. Look at verse 23, please. Paul says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is what? The new covenant." Or in King James, the New Testament. So you see, my friend, the Lord's Supper is a covenant. Now, interestingly, Jesus uses or adds the word new. It is a new covenant, which assumes that there is an old covenant. And where do we find that old covenant, that first covenant? Well, we see that old covenant in the time of Moses in Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. But let me read verses 7 and 8 only. Please listen carefully. "Then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, 'We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey.' Moses then took the blood of the young bulls, sprinkled it on the people, and said," now listen now please, "'This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words.'" This is the blood of the covenant. But Jesus here says, "This cup," referring of course to His blood, "is the blood or the new covenant in my blood." And we know that this covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to is a much better covenant than the old covenant. In what way? Well, in the old covenant, you have the animal blood. And of course, that animal blood points to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the new covenant, you actually have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the old covenant, you have animal sacrifice. The body of that animal being sacrificed in the temple of the Lord. But in the new covenant, you have the actual body of Christ, which was offered once for all for our atonement. That's why Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 through 28 says, listen now please, "But now Jesus has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him." We don't need to sacrifice. We don't need animal sacrifice today, because now we live under the new covenant. In fact, even the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 8 verse 13, "By calling this covenant new, He has made the first one obsolete." Children, if you ask, how come that we don't offer sacrifices anymore like the Old Testament saints did? Well, it is now obsolete. It is now obsolete. So you see, In the old covenant, you only have the shadow. But in the new covenant, you have the substance. In the old covenant, you have the types. But in the new covenant, you have the truths. In the old covenant, you have the picture. But in the new covenant, you have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is new. And then Jesus says, it is a new covenant. In what sense it is a covenant? Well, please listen carefully. The Lord's Supper is a sign or proof or guarantee of the covenant of God, of the promise of God. And what is that covenant? What is that promise? Here's the promise. Whoever has the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will never experience God's eternal wrath in the lake of fire. That's the covenant. And the sacrament is a sign, a guarantee. It's like boys and girls, you know, when you go to the store, you buy something. And what do you get from the cashier? What is the proof that you paid for that item that you bought? You have what we call a receipt, right? A receipt. The sacrament, as it were, is like a receipt. Proof that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so, you see, for believers, perhaps there are doubting believers here. You keep doubting. Has Jesus really paid it all? Well, my friend, look! Look at the sacrament! That is a receipt of Jesus' payment for your sin. Is there anyone here who is still doubting that Jesus actually died on the cross? That He actually paid for your sins? Then come to the Lord's table and enjoy that guarantee that the Lord is giving to you. And note this, when you drink from the cup at the Lord's table, you are showing that you are a member of that new covenant. And together, when all of us, believers, when we come together, we are showing that we belong to what we call covenant community. You see here, you see again the idea of communion. You see, the Lord's Supper is a communion. The Lord's Supper is a covenant. And then thirdly, the Lord's Supper is a communication. The Lord's Supper is a communication of the gospel of Christ. Pastor Brian, where did you get that point? Well, please read verse 26. Verse 26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death. So you see, in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is communicated to us in a very special way. And we should be thankful to the Lord for that. We proclaim the Lord's death. And so, let me emphasize two things under that point that the Lord's Supper is a communication of the gospel. Now first, it is an acted proclamation of the gospel. Here the gospel is preached not through the written word, but through the visible sacrament of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that God is pleased to use the sacrament to preach, to proclaim, to announce, to declare that His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, that whosoever would believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, that's amazing. God did not choose this plant to proclaim the death of His Son. Of course, we know the creation declares the glory of the Lord. But God is pleased to specifically, particularly, use the Lord's Supper to remind you and me of this precious gospel. So it is an acted proclamation of the gospel. Secondly, under that point that the Lord's Supper is a communication of the gospel, the Lord's Supper is a visible or vivid proclamation of the gospel. You see, when we have this Holy Communion, you actually see the bread. And that bread declares to you the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it, it's visible. And when you see the wine or the grape juice, it announces to you that whoever has the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will not experience God's eternal condemnation anymore. Isn't it wonderful? Should we not rejoice for this blessing of Holy Communion? Should we not be excited this morning and say, Lord, thank you so much for this holy sacrament, which is a communication of the gospel. And so, my friend, if there is anyone in our midst who is not yet a believer, who is still a stranger to the cross, as you observe us participating in this sacrament, remember the significance of this sacrament. You too, my friend, can enjoy this if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you repent of your sin. If you say with the tax collector, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to enjoy that communion of the saints. Maybe you have been excommunicated. You are outside God's covenant community. Oh, ask the Lord to forgive you. And I guarantee you, God is always willing to forgive sinners. He has forgiven me. Remember, we are no different. All of us are sinners, beggars of God's grace. I stand behind this pulpit and I administer the Holy Sacrament not because I am holy. No, my friend. I echo what Paul said. I am the chief of sinners. I am what I am by the grace of God. And that should humble us before God. And for you believers, what a special occasion for you to see the bread and to see the wine, to see the cross, to see the Lord Jesus Christ in them. Say to the Lord, Lord, thank you for all the benefits that I have in Christ. Feed on Christ. Be nourished by this supper. And I pray that this will strengthen your doubting faith. You see, it is a receipt, a guarantee. And then finally, so the Lord's Supper is a communion. It is a covenant. It is a communication of the gospel. The gospel is being communicated to you through that sacrament. Finally, the Lord's Supper is a contemplation of the coming of Christ. Contemplation of the coming of Christ. Look at verse 23, the last part. Verse 26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. There you have the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, my friend, in this sacrament, we contemplate on the death of Christ. We remember what He has done for us at Calvary. But we don't stop there. You don't stop on the cross, at the cross. Look forward to His blessed second coming. Because the Lord's Supper is just a foretaste of that heavenly banquet with Christ. Think about that. If you are a child of God, a believer in Christ, you will have the privilege of supping with Christ, fellowshipping with Christ forever and ever in His heaven. And there's no need for the sacrament. There's no need for the elements because we will see the substance, the actual body of Christ. That's why even Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 29, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Of course, Jesus is not suggesting that in heaven we're going to drink literal wine. No. What He's suggesting is that we're going to experience the fullness of God's glory, of God's presence, the fullness of joy. Because boys and girls, in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, wine was used for occasion, celebration. You know, there was that wedding in Cana. Why was wine important? Because it is part of a celebration. It's part of the feasting. It signifies happiness, joy. So Jesus says, the time will come. We will not need that. In my Father's house, you will experience eternal banquet, eternal pleasure. Oh, my friend, I don't want you not to experience that. If you are not yet sure of your salvation, if you are still doubting, still outside of God's covenant, oh my friend, come to Christ by faith. By faith. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this holy sacrament. We thank You, Lord, for its significance to us. We thank You that indeed through this sacrament, the gospel once again is proclaimed, communicated to us in a very unique way. And Lord, help us not to miss that gospel, Lord, in the sacrament. And Lord, as we now administer this sacrament, Lord, we ask for Your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.